From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's December 17th, 2025. On today's show, high winds and severe thunderstorms are leaving many across the inland Northwest without power. And the Spokane County Prosecutor's Office is attempting to divert nonviolent offenders into treatment and away from court. Plus, Washington State University is welcoming a new head football coach after the last one lasted just a single season. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. With much of the inland Northwest under a high wind warning today, officials are warning residents to prepare for gusts that could reach 70 miles per hour or more. Winds that strong can bring down trees, cause power outages, and make driving conditions dangerous. Here's National Weather Service meteorologist Valerie Thaler.
The screaming message is to take action now to prepare for downed trees, power outages, and strong crosswinds. These higher end scenario could cause significant damage.
She says Spokane will see a 75% chance of wind gusts hitting more than 60 miles an hour, and there's a distinct possibility of those gusts over 70 miles an hour.
This will create pretty strong impacts to our unfrozen saturated soils. It's been very wet. Trees will be more susceptible to toppling over.
NWS yesterday upgraded its risk forecast from high to extreme for this morning in the Spokane metro area. The strongest winds are expected to continue through 11 a.m. The high wind warning remains in place until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Many residents across the inland Northwest have lost power as strong winds come through eastern Washington and North Idaho. As of 6:30 this morning, Avista reports nearly 1,000 outages, with about 55,000 residents affected across the region. Inland Power reports more than 14,000 customers without power, 12,000 of whom are in Spokane County. And Northern Lights says about 5,500 of its customers don't have power, with 80 outages in its service area in North Idaho and western Montana. Washington Governor Bob Ferguson announced $3.5 million in state assistance for those affected by ongoing flooding. He says more details about how to apply for the money will be released in the coming days. Ferguson says the funding will help affected households pay for things like groceries and hotel stays.
It's for folks for very short-term assistance they may need. We want to be clear, this is not going to replace somebody's home. That is not what this is about. What we're trying to do is provide a bridge until we get federal disaster relief.
Ferguson says this natural disaster is, quote, one of the most devastating in our state's history, end quote. He says ongoing damage assessments will help the federal government determine how much money to give the state. The governor is also talking with lawmakers about unlocking more state dollars once the legislative session begins in January. Meanwhile, the Washington National Guard has about 250 soldiers helping with the situation. They're filling sandbags, preventing people from driving down closed roads, and helping residents evacuate. The Spokane County Prosecutor's Office is trying to divert nonviolent offenders away from court and into treatment, SPR's Eliza Billingham reports.
It might be possible to save money, keep people out of jail, reduce recidivism, and improve people's lives. That's how Chief Criminal Deputy Prosecutor Preston McCollum pitched a new collaboration between his team, the Sheriff's Office, and the Community Services Department to county commissioners this week. Step Forward would be a voluntary pre-filing pilot program that allows some nonviolent felony offenders to go into treatment instead of trial.
It has some humble beginnings. We're not going to have hundreds of cases going through this. This would be an opportunity to test out this type of a model.
McCollum says it could reduce stress on the courts, save money on jail time, and potentially have better outcomes.
A success for me isn't just engaging them with services. The success will be whether or not we reduce recidivism.
The prosecutor's office is asking for about $200,000 of the county's mental health sales tax to pay for an attorney to oversee the program. There are currently unused dollars in that fund. I'm Eliza Billingham, reporting.
Washington is helping to lead 16 other states in another lawsuit against the Trump administration, this time over the Department of Transportation's suspension of electric vehicle grants. Attorney General Nick Brown's office says DOT has refused to spend congressionally appropriated money for two EV charging infrastructure programs. Brown says if transportation continues to suspend the programs, Washington could lose about $19 million in promised funding. In a court filing, Brown argues that DOT does not have the authority to override Congress's intent for the grant money. Many people use cannabis when they're stressed. Turns out that's true in rats, too. SPR's Steve Jackson reports.
Washington State University veterinary researcher Ryan McLaughlin and his team placed rats in an airtight chamber. The rodent said the option of inhaling cannabis vapor through a port in a chamber wall. McLaughlin says he and his team studied the rats and created a behavioral profile of each to determine their levels of a stress hormone. They discovered the rats with the higher natural stress levels chose to use the drug the most.
Baseline stress hormone levels were the biggest predictor of cannabis-seeking behavior in our model. We also challenged them with a stressor, so we sort of acutely restrained them in restraint tubes or immobilized them for a half hour, and then we can look at stress-induced hormone release.
McLaughlin also says rats with the lowest body levels of a compound called endocannabinoid, a naturally occurring compound related to the active ingredient in cannabis, also chose to inhale the vapor. He theorizes that could be why some people choose to use cannabis, as they may also have low levels of the substances in their bodies. I'm Steve Jackson reporting.
The Kirby Moore era has begun for Washington State University football. The school introduced its new coach yesterday in Pullman. SPR's Doug Nadvornik reports.
It's been nearly 20 years since WSU hired a head football coach who had a link to the university. So when Jimmy Rogers announced recently that he was leaving for Iowa State after one season in Pullman, fans called for a coach who has WSU or Northwest ties. Enter Kirby Moore. The Prosser, Washington native and graduate of Boise State was an up-and-coming assistant at the University of Missouri when he agreed to take the job in Pullman.
He may not have graduated from WSU, but this man is a Coug through and through.
That's WSU Interim Athletic Director John Harlow, who hired Moore and introduced him at an event on the Pullman campus yesterday.
It feels great to be home. I'm really honored for this incredible opportunity. Being an Eastern Washington kid, I grew up following the Cougs' success, especially in football.
Moore said his father, the longtime coach at Prosser High School, would bring him and his brother to WSU football practices during spring breaks. And now Kirby Moore will have the responsibility of leading Washington State into the revamped Pac-12 conference next fall. Six new teams will join the league, including Moore's alma mater. Doug Nadvornik reporting.
SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by Freddie Monadis, Eliza Billingham, Steve Jackson, Doug Nadvornik, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also the host and producer. Thanks for listening. It's SPR.